the night is far spent, Lord. We know that the day is at hand. As soon there's going to be a breaking of the day, a new day. And Lord, we know that that's all the more treacherous because the end of time, even though there is great light for the believer, there's also great darkness in a spiritual form of wickedness that the world has not known. And also, Lord, the devil does not let up, and we know that there's a repeat of all diabolical cunning. And without you, Lord, we have no way of making anything at all. But so we have cast our all upon you tonight, Lord. In our very beings, O God, in the depths of our soul, we cry to you and ask for your help, Lord, that we might be fully fortified in this hour, that we might be able to go into where you are, Lord, into the chamber, the great wedding supper of the Lamb. Father, help us tonight in the meditation of thy word. We now realize, Lord, many things the prophet said are terribly difficult. Even as Peter admitted, Paul said things that are terribly difficult. But they're true, Father. Help us to understand what is said and apply it to our lives wherever it's possible. And we know that most of the word can be applied to our lives, not just a matter of revealed faith, Lord, but a revealed life, a revealed walk. So, Father, we just commend ourselves to you and your grace tonight, believing that somehow you'll help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is token number 5, what we're getting into tonight. It's the 5th message on it, up to page 20. And in each of these services, we try to say something that allows us to break into Brother Branham's message to make it a little more smooth than though we just started or might start to read it. And so far, we've pointed out quite deliberately and tried to be emphatic that Brother Branham, speaking on the token, did not deny that Luther, Wesley, and others had received the Holy Spirit in their ages. Of course, that's something that you'll notice sounds as though he were saying that pretty soon as we read, that could not be possible. But quoting from doing God a service apart from his will, without it being his will, Brother Branham said the Holy Spirit was in Luther. The Holy Spirit was in Wesley. It's God's word being anointed. Now you notice how he always put the measure of the Spirit and the measure of the word together. He never left them separated. It's always together. You can't have one without the other. Anyone truly full of the Holy Ghost would have to be word oriented. He'd have to be compatible with the word. Not say, well, we're so deep in the Spirit we just bypass the Bible. You can see that would be very wrong. It's God's word being anointed. The Holy Spirit returned to this age. They began to have restoration of gifts. They found by yielding to God, the Holy Spirit spoke in tongues through them. That is a tremendous statement. You see, there's where the Pentecostal people got really off on a wrong foot due to sensations, because it was true that this was the Holy Spirit speaking through them in gifts, and that they had to be yielded to it. And so it naturally came to them that this yielding to the Spirit and speaking in tongues was the baptism with the Holy Ghost, when it wasn't. Actually, you'd have to be baptized with the Holy Ghost to have a legitimate gift in tongues and be in true church order. Now, you could have a gift of tongues without being baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's true. But what I'm trying to show you here, that you don't get the cart before the horses, Brother Branham often said. Thus, when Brother Branham was pointing out that the token could not come until evening time, he was not denying that these people had received the Holy Spirit, but it was that the fullness of the Spirit could not come until now. Now, you'll notice every time he said measure. Well, how many measures are there? See, that's the thing. See, if God poured out his Spirit by measure in every age, when did the measures run out? Well, the 7 spirits before the throne, 7 lamps, 7 eyes, all indicative of the 7 outpourings and the 7 ages, which brought it up through a body, constituting the fullness, getting back to headship. So the fullness of the Holy Spirit could not come until this last measure was granted to us. And when he said the Lutherans and Wesleyans and Pentecostals only potentially had the Holy Spirit, he was referring to the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit, veiled in a pillar of fire, as he has now come amongst us. Now, he said, Luther looked for the pillar of fire, Wesley looked. Now, we don't challenge that statement. What Brother Branham meant exactly, I don't know. Being a prophet, he could well be assured by God that they literally looked for a pillar of fire. On the other hand, it could be that they were looking for what we have received, but perhaps with a thinking that wasn't as perfect. Well, it wasn't as perfect as Brother Branham's, that's for sure. Now, it was just like Brother Branham said, justification gave way to sanctification. I'm a little bit paraphrasing this, not a masterpiece. And sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost gave way to the Holy Spirit of the Holy Ghost itself. Now, you'll notice how that when he talked of this potential, Lutherans potentially, Wesleyans potentially, Pentecostal potentially, they all had a measure, and one giving way to the other. You can see that, as he said, what a glory Luther had over the Catholics, what a glory it was that Wesley had over the Lutherans, what a glory Pentecost had over the Wesleyans, and what a glory this is the glory that will never fail. Now, he also brought the thought up that it was a seed that went into the ground, and it had to come back to where the seed was identical to that which had gone into the ground. Well, all right, we know that the literal fact of the matter is, Brother Branham said, see, we haven't had God speaking face to face with a prophet for 2,000 years like he did to Moses, for 2,000 years since the Apostle Paul. And he said, just think, he said, the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here, revealing that word or interpreting that word. So what we're looking at here is that which was in the beginning, in the form of the Holy Spirit, was immediately cut off in that first church age, and it went down, 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 until the Spirit in the church was very, very minor to what it should be. The leadership of God was not there. The Word was decimated. Nothing was there, especially in the Dark Ages. You couldn't even begin to find anything that looked any way, shape, or form of what went down to the ground and died. Now, it wasn't just the bride going in, because Brother Branham doesn't talk of that bride in these terms when he talks about the potential. He's talking of the literal Holy Spirit and the ministry we see in this hour. Now, he said it started back under Luther in those little stalks. Maybe a couple came up. Now, he said that didn't look very much like the original green. That's true, it didn't. A couple of green stalks don't look anything like a corn. That's the mature article we're talking about that went in. And Luther's age didn't look hardly anything like the age of Jesus Christ. What the Holy Spirit can do, or Christ can do in the form of the Holy Spirit. It didn't look like it. Now, Wesley came along, and that was a lot better. Then Pentecost came along, and that looked closer still, because now you're getting to where you can see a seed form. And there's got to be a seed form there like the original. But Brother Branham said, what was the ear of the corn, it developed fungus. And you found that as you looked into what was the ear, or what should have been the grain of wheat, whichever way you want to go, you could tear it apart and you'd find there was nothing in there. But it was predestinated by God, and a life was in there that was coming out. And perhaps with a scope you could see it begin to form. Now he said, this is what you're looking at, the real seed that's come back. Now, that's the ministry, or the literal proof, that Jesus Christ has come back to this earth in the form of the Holy Spirit and is doing exactly what he used to do when he was here in the flesh to Israel. See, now that's what we're looking at here, and we cannot ever take one message and play it against another message, or some quotes and play it against other quotes. You've got to see the picture in its entirety. So we'll just keep going along here then. So he said, gave way to the Holy Ghost itself. It was a perfect picture he gave us when he showed how the corn was coming back to the original, or the wheat was. And here it is today. The perfect ministry, perfect parallel. The perfect word, no doubt about it. Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit identified amongst us. Now, actually, we can read this on page 20, starting at the top of the page, that's the last sentence in that first paragraph. The evening time message is to apply the token. Now that's what he said. In 1962, in Spokane, I think it was, he said, My message is to declare that he is here. So the evening time message is the declaration that he is here. Now, with it is an understanding of a token that must be applied, because the man cannot be bringing up two subjects which are contrary one to the other. What they are, they're perfectly related. Now let's read on. Satan will sow all kinds of counterfeits, of shaking hands, and evidences, and everything like that. Forget it. The hour has arrived that the token itself, not some counterfeit, make-believe substitution or something, the hour is here when the token himself is identifying himself right among us and proving that he is Jesus Christ, or Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever, and he is right with the Word. Now that follows when he said, my message is to declare to you, the evening time message is a declaration of the application of the token. And then he goes right on here, and he reiterates what he said in 62. My message is to declare that he is here. Now you notice he's very careful when he speaks of the token that must be applied. Now watch it. He said counterfeits, shaking of hands, evidences, some substitution, make believe. Now evidently, the purpose of that statement is to jar the thinking into an understanding. This is literally a Mount Carmel showdown, is what you're looking at. We'll go into that a little more. Now, reading on. It has got to be applied. A man that says he has got the token and denies this word. Now, there's a message with it. Then what about it? You can't do it. The token has got to be there. Now, emphatically stressing the validity of his thesis, his understanding, his presentation, and warning and exhorting that there is a relationship to a true token that you must possess, and the token that stands there that he absolutely believes to be vindicated. It's got to be applied. Now he's going back again to Exodus. As the blood had to be applied, the token had to be applied. Now remember, the blood had a source. Our token also has a source. Now the Holy Spirit, the life that was in the blood, is a token unto you. Get to that in a minute. The Holy Ghost is the token. Now does he mean the Holy Ghost is the token as though we're going to have the Holy Ghost and God himself is standing there and he's not the Holy Ghost, but he's something else? Well, you get back to being a Trinitarian pretty quick on that one. You got too many spirits. No way. That's a Trinitarian concept. You get the Spirit of Jesus Christ and you get the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Jesus, of course, is the salvation. But Brother Branham didn't say that. He said, you get another Spirit from God, but not the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit you got cannot receive the Holy Ghost. So he gives you another Spirit. Take that reading from Ezekiel. Then you can receive the Holy Ghost. So the Trinitarian doesn't have a clue as to the message that Brother Branham is preaching. So what do we got here? The Holy Spirit, the life that was in the blood. Now he said that comes back upon the believer. Then who is standing there? The life giver himself, or the life himself, Jehovah Life. See, Jehovah Way, Jehovah Truth. Now notice he says here, the Holy Ghost is the token. The case is closed. In other words, you do what you want, it's all over. This is it or nothing is it. Or this is it or you haven't got it. That's really what he's saying. Now we'll hit this on judgment a little bit later. Now remember, it doesn't matter what you are, how good you are, how many times you jumped up and down, how many churches you joined, how many good things you've done. It won't mean one thing to you if the token isn't applied. This is the evening time. Now, you notice in there he's making a leeway. That this could have been supportive to the person or supported as your understanding, but not anymore. Because all these things are good. Even dancing is fine. Nothing wrong with dancing in the spirit, wrong as you don't try to make some kind of a sexy hoedown out of it. Men and women dance together. Impressionistic dancing is always has been of God. You're supposed to praise Him in the dance. I don't think we're going to start anything like that here. But Brother Branham mentioned one time himself, he got very critical of some Pentecostals, you know, dancing around. And he said, music, he's tapping his toe, and the first thing he was dancing around too. And I got nothing against that at all. I'm for it. Even for just psychological. You know, people think I'm a whole lot starchy, and I am. I'm not as starchy as you think I am. Because it all comes out in the message. Just what I really stand for, what I really believe, see. Now, I said, that worked all right in the days of Luther. Worked all right in the days of Wesley. But it doesn't work now. No. Yeah. Keeping up the Lamb was all right then. Those who died before the Lamb was applied with the blood, he meant, you see. They had that Lamb to apply that blood. There were those previously who were killing animals in sacrifice. But they weren't applying the blood on the lintels and the doorpost. See? Now, they all died in a good conscience. And they'll come up. But you notice that those in Egypt at that time that died never came up. Like Joseph said, take my bones back. Jacob wouldn't even allow himself to be buried there. He wanted in Jerusalem where the resurrection was going to be. They knew there'd be a resurrection. They'd be in prophets. You see, now they could come up in a resurrection down the road. But they weren't resurrected at that time and taken into the promised land. This is a promised land promise and a condition, an itinerary at that particular time. It was over. It doesn't repeat. And we're going through the same thing again. Now, I know that when you talk about being in the bride of Christ, Brother Branham categorically said, it doesn't matter if you die. You'd have to be standing here. One's as good as the other. You're going to make it. Then you see, they think, well, hey, everything then is par for the course. No, you're wrong. Everything is not par for the course. You can be back for those six church previous ages and most of this seventh, and you're fine. But you come up to this, suddenly everything changes. It's not par for the course anymore. This is the thing we've got to get our thinking lined up with. This is what he keeps hammering. Don't put faith in something that has been the status quo. He said, anybody can build a fence or a house made of bricks until you come to the corner. But it takes an expert man to turn the corner. Now he's telling you we've turned the corner. It's the epical strategic season. We're not back there anymore. We're not back in Pentecost. Now, we're still in the Laodicean concept, but we're not personally the bride in the Laodicean age. And Melu, we're not oriented her anymore. We're out of her. We're in the bride age. The march is on for the bride. All right, yeah, keeping up the Lamb was all right then. Those who died before that Lamb shed his blood and the blood applied, that was different. Yes, sir. They went on. That means they died. Because of good conscience. They would be judged whether if they were predestinated. It struck them. If it didn't, it didn't. That's all. It's just God. Now, you'll notice the truth lies there where Brother Branham is bringing us to this crucial point. Back in Ephesians again, where he speaks of those full of the Holy Ghost, verses 13 and 14. You notice then he goes on, and he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of understanding being enlightened. Now, what we don't realize in there by reading that is a gap of 2,000 years where everything that Brother Branham took place of the seed going into the ground and then starting to come up to this point here where that spirit comes into the church. Now, at that point, you can see that something is definitive which wasn't definitive before. Something is a requisite. that at the previous point was not requisite. You follow what I'm saying? See? Because you've got to understand between 14 and 17, 2,000 years go by. That's what you're looking at, see? All right. We read those paragraphs. Now, here's what I understand him to be saying in paragraphs 1 to 7. He says, first of all, the evening time message is brought by an evening time messenger. Right there. The evening time message is to apply the token. And he said, the token himself is identified right amongst us. So the evening time message has an evening time messenger, twofold. Jesus, message Jesus himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. A prophet on earth and his message, which is one with the messenger. Now, you remember what Brother Branham said, and I don't want to read the whole thing because we've read it so many, many times. He said, I want you to know this is sure, and you that listen to this tape might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself, seeing I was preaching this message. I have no more to do with it, nothing, no more than just a voice. And then my voice, even against my better judgment, I want to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father, I declared it and determined to. I wasn't the one that appeared down there. I was only one standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and so on. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. See? And then he said, it's a manifestation of the Son of Man. And he said, the messenger, the prophet, reveals the Son of Man. All right. Now, so the evening time, there's an evening time message which is brought by an evening time messenger. And this messenger is Jehovah himself in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire in the office of sonship. Because he's the Son of God, according to the resurrection from the dead, and Paul called him that after he identified himself to Paul, I am Jesus. So this is sonship. It's still sonship. That's why Brother Branham said, God has given us the gift of his Son in this last days in the form of the Holy Spirit. So don't get away from sonship. Which I thought it was the Father. Well, he's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's all three. Lily, the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the altogether lovely Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. It's not that he's not these things, but at this particular time, in the role of the drama, he is definitely in the form of sonship, the office. So we got to remember that. All right. The messenger, Job himself, in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire, and the office of sonship, were in the days of the Son of Man ministry of Luke 17 and Matthew 12, manifest perfectly through a prophet, that Jehovah himself is indeed present. He has appeared according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself has descended with a shout. He appeared on the river. He came down with a message. And that his message would be received, he had a prophet to speak to, and he vindicated himself, proved the prophet, then spoke and proved what he spoke. See? The word of the hour is very direct and urgent to point that rejection demands destruction. That's what it says in Acts 3. Concerning the end time. Let's go to Acts 3. I've got a lot of flack from this kind of preaching, but it really nothing. I don't bother me because I know I'm right. It says here in verse 19, the middle, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, that's not the presence we're talking about now. Even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was proclaimed in advance unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the restoration of all things, which God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets where began. And that's a great healing revival that identified the Lord Jesus Christ and his prophet. And he still hasn't come down to earth. The heavens have still retained him. See, the one you got advance notice about. The advance notice of the marriage supper, the union, has gone on for years and is going on right now. And one day he's going to break the clouds, so to speak, or come down, we'll meet him in the clouds. Meet him immortal, which is the second coming. Second time he comes in flesh. All right, now notice. Which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets as the word began. For Moses truly said unto fathers, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things whatsoever he said to you. And it'll come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now it tells you right there that Jesus is called that prophet. It's identified as the prophet. Prophet is a messenger. Actually, he's a messenger from God, is what he is. This is not just God's prophet, this is the God prophet. God himself. All right, now, in this hour, he is prophet yet, son of man, in the form of the Holy Spirit. And it tells you right here that at this particular time, at this end time here, just before he comes in the human form, that those who turn him down are going to be utterly destroyed. Now, you can't get away from that because that's right over here in the book of Matthew. Now, see, brother, sister, you always got to just keep everything in place and understand Scripture as compound meanings many times, even compound chronologies. Your chronology might be 2,000 years difference. Now, it says in the third chapter, beginning at verse 10, now is the axe laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I am, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now listen, whose fan is in his hand, he'll thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat in the garner, and burn up the chaplain and quench with fire. Now someone could say, well, you see right there, his fan was in his hand, and he separated the truth once from Israel, and he brought forth them out of the grave, and he took them with him. Who got burned up? See, they blew it on that one. His fan is in his hand now. It wasn't previously. The separation is over in Luke chapter 17, where the eagles are gathered. And I'll take one and leave one. That's going into the rapture, see? Now let's go a little further. Let's just run right back here to Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest they cometh by thee with a curse. Now right away the human mind can say, hey, now if that fellow Elijah comes, he won't smite the earth. Wrong. He's going to smite the earth. But he just won't smite everybody. So you see what we're dealing with is a particular urgency of this end time message. He is here with the fan in his hand. He's separating the chaff from the wheat. And remember, the chaff gets burned. Now, I'm not making this Bible up. I came out of Pentecost. I've still got enough sympathy for Pentecostal folks not to see, want to see anybody burned. I want to ask you, where does the wheat form? Not down in the roots. Not down in the stalk. Not in the tassel. It forms right in the husk. The chaff. Now you see what happens, the chaff gets brittle. Hard through pride. He that stiffens his neck and hardens his heart shall be cut off. Satan fell by reason of pride. We're rich in goods and we're increased in goods and rich and we don't miss a thing. We got everything. Well, he said, you're miserable, wretched, naked, poor, and blind. See, you can't tell anybody that. So, this is the urgency of that message. So, it's to receive Elijah and Jehovah is deliverance. To reject is death. See? Now, follow closely. This great messenger, this great prophet, and this great message. You got a messenger, you got God himself, you got a prophet, you got a message. Which are in Revelation 10, 1 and 7. The one that came down has one on earth to meet him. In Revelation 22 and 10, the seals are already broken now from Revelation 10. And you can't close the book. And at that time, 1 Corinthians 13, that which is perfect has come, there's no more parts. We know in part, but now you got all the parts. There's no more to come. See? With it, Revelation 22, 18, 19, you can't take and you can't add. See? You've come to a perfection. And this could only come at a time for an Exodus that's perfectly typed by Exodus 12. Israel going out. See, that's your Alpha. This is your Omega. In no other church age did God himself appear as he is now appearing. In no way. See, but let's go back to the pillar of fire that brought the word. The same pillar of fire brought the word is revealing the word. But he wasn't revealing the word back there, he's just giving it. See, it wasn't time. Something was left upon himself, said that the Spirit may come and give a revelation. God came and give the revelation now. Now that's the only thing that was missing to bring about a resurrection and a rapture. That's the Lord himself descending on the ship. The token is here. See, the great sealer himself is here. See? Now, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost were all leading up to it, for they each had a measure, but not the completely revealed word, both as to letter and logos. No. Logos himself appeared on the scene. Well, you can see right there a picture taken. See? That was all right for their days. And it was all right for their days. They're going to make it. See? They had enough to get them by. And they could shake hands and join churches and this and that was fine. They'd get by with it. With what measure they had. But you and I cannot get by that way anymore. It's over. See, that's what he's bringing up to us all the time here. And you cannot get people to understand they don't have what it takes. They say, well, look, I spoke in tongues. Fine dandy. I prophesied. Prayed for the sick. Saw the dead raised. Saw devils cast out. No problem. Lived a beautiful life. Far better than we're living, no doubt. Brother Brand said the mule will work the horse at any time. Christian Science showed more love than we ever will. That's the kind they got. They don't have the other kind. Our kind goes to the Word, see? Then we're expecting more to come out of that. All right. Now, Luther had his measure of the Spirit and his light in justification, and they'll take them in. Wesley had his measure and his light, sanctification, is going to take them in. Pentecost had their measure. Now, remember, when Luther's bunch turned on Wesley, died. When the Wesleyan bunch turned on the Pentecostals, they died. When Pentecostals turned on the prophet and this message and this bride, they died. See, you can say what you want, but that's exactly what happened. They'll never rise again. See, Pentecost is the same as Wesley. None of these three had to come under the full measure, so they made it by what they had, and especially through predestination, like under the fifth seal. They did their best with what they had. See? But they didn't have the revelation. They couldn't. It wasn't time. The pillar of fire couldn't come. He couldn't return to the Gentiles. And the returning to the Gentiles in the ministry was to prove who it was in order to bring them ministering, which was the Word. Because the just shall live by faith. And now we're going to get out of here. And the faith is tuned to the Word of God. And you cannot have faith for the Word of God unless it's a season. So you can't do it. Now, Pentecost could have its sensations and its wonderings and its wanderings like all the rest and even more so. That was fine for that day. See? The margin of error was there. They only had so much. They walked in the light. They had fellowship. But this is a different story today. See? We're in a different area, but today is different. Number one, you believe the token itself. Number two, you receive that life from that token that has revealed himself. So you've got to receive that life from that token that has revealed himself. Now, they never had that previously, brother, sister. It wasn't they didn't have something real. We're in a different hour. All right? You have to receive that light from that token that has revealed himself and spoken through the prophet of this hour. For the first time from the Ephesian age, God has identified himself. You say, why from that age? Because he said to Paul, I am Jesus. Then Paul came in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. He didn't just talk. He was identified. And he suffered for it too. Because he had a measure like none of the rest of them had. Like one even born of the due season. Remember how God spoke to Brother Branham, the voice of Jehovah, the Old Testament, Jesus, the New. He's identified. See? Now, if you believe that is true, or you believe this which is true here, Jehovah's presence, you will receive every word given in this hour. Now, this is not the presence of God under Luther, under Wesley, under Pentecostal. because they couldn't have it. They believed everything they could possibly get their hands on for their art. But we're at the end of the ages. See? Now, you will identify with Christ who is our life. Now watch that. You will identify with Christ who is our life, and you will claim no other life to be of Christ than what Jehovah vindicated. Now come on. See, they called Brother Branham a soothsayer and familiar spirit and made this the devil just like Jesus and everything else. Well, they said, don't tell me I haven't got the Holy Ghost. I'm telling them right now they never had the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't know the Holy Ghost under any condition. She screams the housetops at him because he already did it. What I'm saying is this. Jesus Christ, Jehovah's Savior, has identified himself publicly to us. He is the great token. And the only eternal life available is the life given to us from that identified and present God. Nothing else is of him. The rest is sensation. Shaking hands, jumping up and down. Gifts. But not life. Now you see, this spells an exclusivity. Makes people think, well, you're closing people out. I'm not closing anybody out. Go talk to God, don't talk to me. Amen. Go talk to the prophet. Yes. He's the one that said it. I didn't preach this sermon, he preached it. But I don't think I'm swinging. I can't understand at least with the help of Almighty God, the things he's saying here. Because you go back in Scripture, the Bible distinctly says that except a man have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's written by Paul right there in that first age. When did God ever change that word? when did the age not have a measure of the Spirit? He said, don't destroy the oil and wine. He tells them flat. Remember the bruised reed, he doesn't break, and the smoking flax, he won't quench. He's pouring in the oil. Pours in the oil until the end time, he's got a perfect light again. See? That's just for a few people, of course. Remember, nothing else is of God. So he is the great token. And the only eternal life available is the life given to us of that identified and present God. Nothing else is of him. There's no other life of him. No life. No sensations. No signs. No fruit. No knowledge. Nothing but recognizing the vindicated Jehovah and asking for and receiving the gift of life from him who is now manifestly present. Now that locks it right up. Otherwise, why has Brother Branham said what he said? I'll tell you why he said what he said, because he's a crank. That's what they'll tell you. Ranting and raving about the poor people, especially the poor dear sweet sisters. They haven't got enough brains to get out of the ring. They haven't got enough brains to get in the ring. What it is. Because there's a former ring out there in a ladder ring. They haven't got enough brains. They want their slacks and their short hair and their fleecy devoosy life. I don't know what's married them. All I can tell is married them. Just know that there's no God there. Amen. They can say what they want. It's anointing, sure, but it's not life. Not. See, listen, now, from what I'm bringing you, you can see that this message on the token is literally another way of preaching the rapture. And it brings in the false anointed, which it always does all the way down the line. All right. No sensation, no signs, no fruit, no knowledge, nothing but recognizing the vindicated Jehovah and asking for and receiving the gift of light from him who is now manifestly present. To say one is filled, spirit-filled and deny the manifest appearing in this hour shows he is not born again. Amen. Why, a lot of people say they believe in this. He don't know this, the appearing going on. I admit I threw a lot of people on that, but my first message on it, I told everybody, I went to the Word to find out about that Word appearing, what's going on, because Brother Branham said there are two different things. And I came up with the understanding of the presence right there. And he is present. And he's present in a way he hasn't been for 2,000 years. And he's doing something in the presently now that wasn't done except one time 4,000 years ago under Moses. With Moses. And this is better than ever because we're going in through resurrection. See? Hey. In the other three periods of Wesley, Luther, and Pentecost, they came, as Brother Branham says, on paragraph 7, page 20. He said, yeah, keeping up the Lamb was all right then. Those who died then before the Lamb was applied the blood. It was different. That's right. They went on because of good conscience. They did the best they could.
They understood the best they could. But you see, when that's all you got, you're stuck with it. But God doesn't leave you stuck. Just because the church started going down, God didn't say, okay, let her go down, down, now I'll just finish her up. She's going to start bringing it back up. Then at the end time, I'll do something very special. That's when I'll cut it off. I'll get the special out. And you know, that's simple as ABC. Now the next thing is, how does he do it? We got the secret. The secret is out. The devil can't do a thing about it. And the rest of the folk can't handle it. There's your seven seals, the mystery under the seven seals. The devil got a hold of it. Great damage. Devil can't get a hold of anything anymore. It's too late. No matter what he does. See? Now God had his prophet to bring it. See, just left it lie there silent until he could bring it. All right. But today the vindicated token, wait, I read this. No, read here. Good conscience. They would be judged whether they, that is not, they'd be judged not according to condemnation. But they come in, not second resurrection. I don't believe that second resurrection. Otherwise you don't have seven church angels going up in a bride. Brother Branham saw seven. So there's a bride in every age. Now that's true, whether Brother Branham saw it or not, there would be that bride. That's Bible. And he didn't have that vision. God just gave him a vision to comfort him. The vision's ours too. It's good. I'm glad that he had the vision, but it wasn't a vision that we needed. You know what I mean? But we need, I suppose, in the sense of the word. If they were predestined, they'd struck. In other words, all that bride is going to be bride, period. No matter how little they had or how much they had, it constitutes bride. But he's bringing her right back now to restoration. All right. But today the vindicated token himself demands you receive the life that knows its source as only in him. The vindicated token. In other words, you've got to have in you that which recognizes that vindicated token or Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, the source of what's in you. See? Now, then if we receive that life, that token in us will agree with every word, placing us under the seventh seal, right under Jehovah himself, sealed in to the resurrection and immortality and rapture and millennium. Now, what Brother Branham is bringing us, according to my thinking, is actually a Mount Carmel showdown, where the prophet of God came against the 400 prophets of organization and said, all right, if Baal is God, let's serve Baal, let's find out. Now, if God is God, let's find out and serve God. We're going to have a showdown. See? Now, Mount Carmel was a showdown back there. Mount Zion is a showdown now. Why? Because we cannot have a Carmel per se that allows a prophet to kill off the organization. He has too tough a time doing it. And God doesn't want him to do it anyway, because God has reserved that to himself. He said, I will send Elijah to get my elect out. Then I will take care of the rest. And that's what's going on right now, see? So there's a showdown. The preaching of this entire message is in the spirit of a showdown. If God be God, serve him. But in this showdown, we don't have prophets of Baal against the true prophet of God, but we have false ones anointed by a true spirit that deceive everybody except the very elect. See? Now, just to make it even clearer, this message proves the legitimacy of God's judgment. In other words, God has cleared himself perfectly in this age so that nobody can say, I didn't have a chance.
Amen.
See? He's cleared his word, cleared the bride. The judgments of God are in the earth. Sent a vindicated prophet. Pictures taken. Everything to show exactly who he is, what he is, what's going on. Nothing there's nothing now that's not unveiled to us. It's all in the open. After Revelation 10, 1 to 7, or just take the whole chapter if you want to. Revelation 22 says, don't seal the book again. It's all in the open. It's all there. You're responsible. All right? I'm just going to hit this quick again. Now, he said, the evening time message is to apply the token. And the message God gave him was to declare that he is here. So then you have got to apply what this presence gives you in this hour, which is of his own life and his own revelation. See? And it'd be perfect with that word. And it comes by a prophet. Satan will sow all kinds of counterfeits of shaking hands and evidences and everything like that. Sensation is. Forget it. The hour has arrived that the token itself, now not some counterfeit or some make-believe or something that's a substitution, not anything else, the hour is here when the token himself is identifying himself right among us and proving that he is Jehovah. Hebrews 13:8. And he's right with his word. Laid it out. Now everybody but the elect is going to say, well, that I don't believe that. God hasn't cleared his word with me. Well, isn't that great, tin horn? Yeah. If you talk about the devil having pride and a tub full of guts, a few, that's not nice language, but I just couldn't help myself. Well, he's a pussycat along some of these people we got today. But they won't be that way in Judgment Day, brother, sister. Because I tell you what, these guys are butterflies coming along like Sherman tanks. And Brother Branham, of course, was a Sherman tank that acted like a butterfly that threw the whole bunch out. They thought they could run him. You try to run God's prophet, you might as well try to run God. See? Now, it has got to be applied. What has got to be applied? What this one has for us now, which is his life. And his word, his revelation, you can't separate one from the other, brother, sister. You see, I got the token and turned down the word. I got the token and turned down the token himself? Come on. Well, you say the whole thing is a travesty against even intelligence. Human intelligence, let alone the partition that God gives. It's got to be applied. A man says he's got the token, deny this word. What about that? You can't do it. The token has got to be there, and you'll stay with the word. The blood shall be a token to you. Now it's the Holy Spirit, see? Now the Holy Spirit, the light that was in the blood, is a token unto you. Get to it in a moment. The Holy Ghost is the token. Yes, sir. Case is closed. Judgment set. Do what you want about it. Get your own token. Try your own ideas. Say your own prayer. Say your own word. Go your own way. Case is closed. Now, you know what a closed case is. You never get back in court again. That's the sentence is final. Do what you want about it. You say, well, I've been wrong. Well, I'm sorry about that. The case is closed. How did God ever wrong anybody? Now remember, doesn't matter what you are, how good you are, how many times you jumped up and down, how many churches you joined, how many good things you've done, won't mean one thing to you if the token's not applied. This is the evening time. Something special. Okay? That worked all right in the days of Luther, worked all right in the days of Wesley, won't work now. No. Yeah, keeping up the Lamb was all right then. In other words, look, they had a Lamb for seven church ages. And there he stood as surety. There he was pleading the case. Now he's come down and identified himself, and they crucify him afresh. Listen, you tell me what kind of an attorney and mediator he's going to be for you. And you tell me how much you got under the conditions I just spoke of. Brothers, you know, listen, you can tell this doesn't set. This leaves it rigid. This leaves the corner turned. You're not sitting on the fence any longer. You're on either side of the fence. Won't work anymore. See? Talk about the blood all you want in the Lamb. Here in the form of the Holy Spirit proving who he is, what it's all about. And say, well, I've got this over here. Just get on my way. I don't want to take this. I'm over here. Are you? You bet you are. That's putting him outside the church and nailing the door. It's also putting nails on our own spiritual caskets. Now, it was okay back there. They went on because of good conscience. Well, they did best what they had. And they were good people. Don't ever, they're not going to miss it. They were predestinated. See? Now, whatever was for that hour struck. See? Look at that old cry that went up for years. Just, millions now living will never die. Hogwash. Billions living are going to die.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Well, five of them. 5 billion. Not that I want them dead. I don't want them dead any more than I want myself dead. The thing is, what are you going to do? Stay with the Word of God? Are you going to be a flunky for the devil? We'd sooner be God's delegated, the devil's flunky. The devil's patsy or God's emissary. It's just up to you. It's up to me. All right, we'll keep reading. He justifies whom he will. Have mercy on whom he will. Condemns whom he will. He's God, that's all. He has mercy on whom he has mercy. Condemns whom he wants to condemn. A Jew could plainly show by the circumcision he's a believer. There's many a fundamental man can take the Bible and say, I'm a believer. Why, sure they can say that. Absolutely. That'd have been fine back yonder. See? But when you turn down, it's not fine anymore. See? Jesus said, by faith we're saved. I'm a believer, but that baptism of the Holy Ghost is nonsense. Then the token isn't applied. How much he believes, it's a no. Now, there are those who go on and say, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What about him that reclaims the Holy Ghost standing here? Oh, come on, that's not God. That's just William Branham. You see, he had a great ministry and he blew it. He got proud, he got carried away. You know, something happened to the guy. Nice fella, you know, but you know, he got cranky and everything else, you know. Well, I disagree. I never found him cranky. Found him. I wish I could be in my sweetness one-tenth as sweet as he was in his crankiness. Beginning somewhere. Just like the circumcision of the Jew. He said, I'm a Jew. Why do I have to go out there and act like that other bunch of fanatics? In other words, why do I have to make a break? Why do I have to leave what I'm in? See? Well, you need to identify with the identification of this hour. Manifested Word. The manifested God. The manifested Prophet. The manifested Bride. And she's manifested by what she's gathering to. Because you see, the eagles come to the carcass. There's clean eagles and dirty eagles. Don't ever forget that. The clean eagle is the good eagle that soars up there, and every now and then he plunges and hits the river, and when he hits the water, his feathers go off, and God grows him new feathers, and he's all renewed again. Life renews his life like the eagle. Then you got the dirty eagle, that's which is a kind of a buzzard. And he eats carrion. But they're both eagles. They come out of the Orient. There's two gatherings. One's going to go ecumenical, one's going to go Jesus. And you better believe the Jesus group is going to be very, 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 very small. Moses, going up and down the street saying, the evening message is here. The covenant time. See? It will come to pass at the end of 14 days, you'll gather the congregation together and kill the lamb. The whole congregation of Israel will kill it, putting your hands upon it and identifying yourselves with it. And the blood shall be struck upon the post and upon the lintel of the door. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, for it's a token that you've accepted the death of the lamb that I provided for you. Now, there's a provision. God made the provision. Made a way. See? Now, the death of Jesus Christ provided this for us in this hour. Now, I said the death did. That means the blood. All right, then. If a person doesn't accept the provision, then what good is the blood? No good at all. See? Because the blood provided. You got to get the provision. You understand? The provision is the life. It's God Himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. Given us a gift. Right back to us right in this hour. God giving Himself again. You see, I've got the blood. How can you have the blood which provided the provision that you turned down? Look at Brother Citrus. If this isn't what Brother Brown is saying, I don't know what he's saying. He labored on this message, and this was a crucial message of his life. He put it very nicely. You don't need guys like me to come by with a bludgeon and a mallet. But I usually do. See? The provision. The blood was the token then. Now the Spirit is the token. You should be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's right. Peter Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And when the blood was shed, the token was sent down the day of Pentecost like a rushing mighty wind. That was the theme of every apostle. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is a token, amen, that you pass from death unto life. There you are. That never changes. When the Jewish church faded out, the Gentiles took over in that perversion like that. Now she has come out to get that remnant of the Gentiles for his namesake, the bride. See what I mean? See what the scripture is speaking of here? If the token was not displayed, then the covenant was not effective. See, the word of God is not effective to anybody that's not under the bonds of the covenant. But see, the covenant, really, the covenant is, you might like say, are the terms of a contract. Or what lies in there. What lies in that contract, or what lies in that will, that testament. Now, there's something that's got to be done, which would you'd have to prove that you were the legitimate heir of that testament, that will. In other words, there's got to be a life or a blood relationship. They say, are you a blood relative? Even your scripture. Why don't they say, are you a life relative? Well, you say, well, that goes for saying if you're really relative of some kind. No, I'm in-laws. So that wouldn't do. So they talk about blood, where the life is in the blood, see. All right. Now, you have here, this covenant is not effective, that though the blood paid the price, everything, unless you've got the blood to show the source of that provision. Now, you've got to have the very life today, which is the Holy Spirit, to pay a part of the covenant of the millennium, because that's what it's all about, because we're going into it. See? Now, if you haven't got the covenant, there's no way you're going to be a part of it. Now, how do I know? See? Well, this fellow says here, when you jump up and down, you got it. When you laugh, you got it. When you got joy, you've got it. When you dance, you've got it. When you speak in tongues, you've got it. When you live this kind of life, you got it. When you confess this, you got it. When this. Now hold it. You got 1,500 different things almost. That doesn't do one bit of good. Now that might have been good at one time, because those things are all good. No one's going to fuss about them. But today, he stands here identified. What are you doing about identification? Now here's what I contend, where even in this message, they're turning it down too much to my liking. And they simply can't understand that he's here. And he's here in a way he wasn't here before. Because if he'd have been that way here before, then Luther, Brother Branham, would not have said what he said about right here in these 76 paragraphs. He couldn't have said it. It would be the old status quo. So there's something different. Absolutely. Now, it must be because if you say you believe and you don't follow the instructions of the word, then you don't believe. Repent, be baptized. What about repentance today? Everybody goes through the repentance because the message of this hour is repentance. Change your mind. Get rid of your old thinking. Get rid of put on the new thinking. Though you be circumcised, though you join, and though you're baptized, you've done all things like that, that still isn't the token of the Holy Ghost. Now why does he say that? Because many people depend on that. From the formalist, the dead formalist, to the very vivid and livid emotional Pentecostal. They can only settle for something that they reason out, or they feel they figured out, or they're satisfied with. They cannot accept that which they come face to face with in a vindicated ministry, although they talk about vindication day by day. At least Pentecost does. The rest, I don't think, talk too much about it. They talk about their great scholarship, and they know this and they know that. Well, how come they can't know the weather tomorrow? They know the things of eternal life and don't even know the weather. Jesus himself caught them on that one. He said, they claim they knew the weather, but there's nobody knows the weather. The best they can do is say, well, it looks like it's going to be so-and-so. How many times you heard the weather report recently and found out it wasn't that way at all? I'd almost do better myself with my corns if I had any. What more could a man do and believe God? I said, that's true, doctor, it's right. He did believe God. The Bible said so. You're right. As far as you come, you're right. As long as the 12 spies that were sent out to go over to spy out the land of Canaan, as long as they went forward toward Canaan, they were gaining ground. But when they came to the borderline, they rejected. I said, you Baptists are all right as far as you come, but have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now you see, what's he building up to here now? They don't have a measure of spirit at all. There's none of them going to go in. Now, not necessarily chaff. The best they could qualify is foolish virgin. Come up in the second resurrection. Far as they've gone. There'll be millions of them. Hundreds of millions. Perhaps billions for all I know. See, I said, remember, God recognized Abraham's faith. He believed God. It was imputed to him for righteousness. That is true. But then God gave him the seal of circumcision, the sign assigned to him. Not that his flesh circumcised had any view with his soul. It was a sign that he had. God had recognized his faith. And he gave us the sign of the Holy Ghost, that he has recognized us as believers. For he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, when did that ever change? See? But you're at a juncture. See, you're at a juncture. The juncture is, I'm with Elijah, and I'll save those that I turn their hearts back. The rest are gone. See? You're looking at Exodus. You must put this in the perspective of Exodus. You can't go back to the beginning of the seven church age, the six, the five, the four, and right down. You cannot even go back to age number one. You've got to come right here. Age number one did not have an Exodus or the promise of an Exodus. They were 13 and 14. We start with 17. We've got 13 and 14 too. Don't think we don't have. We sure do. The Jews, no matter how they could prove they were circumcised, had the token had to be shown. Not the circumcision token, no. That's a manifestation of flesh. They had to have a manifestation of something that had nothing to do with their flesh, but they said, I'll take it. The source provided an identification. God has provided an identification of that angel with the inkhorn. The sighs and cries over sin. Not this out in the world kind of sin, but this unrighteousness sin. The evil deeds of Cain. Oh man, they don't like that one. Spiritual wickedness. They don't like those things. The trail of the serpent. Why, the serpent might as well have just taken a big rock and clobbered Eve and killed her. He killed her deader than that when he got her mixed up with his junk. And his rotten son came along, Cain, and did kill Abel. Oh, yeah. So the promise is to you. Get the point? Okay, for seven ages, they've had the Holy Spirit in the measure. I believe they had the Holy Spirit. They had enough to get them through, no doubt about it. Brother Brand said so. They baptized wrong for hundreds of years. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Can't do that anymore. People say, well, I believe I got the Holy Ghost, and I tell you, I was baptized that way, that's good enough. We were commanded under the seals to be rebaptized. A lot of preachers want to just stick around and not do a thing about it. After they got put in the spot, they started doing something about it. It's usually pretty rough when I won't say anything there. The Jews, no matter what they could prove, they were circumcised, but the token had to be shown. If not, then the covenant was not effective. Same now, same thing. No matter what you do, no matter how much you explain the Bible, you might be a Bible student, oh my, you might say I'm a believer and everything, but still the token is required. You say, I was a good person, Brother Branham. I don't care what anybody says. You can't beat that man. Never saw him do a thing wrong in my life. That doesn't mean that. It's to do with God. There's one requirement, that alone, and you cannot do that. You cannot put the blood on the lintel door where the token could be unless the lamb died. The blood was a positive sign the lamb died. No make-believe the lamb died. Then what's a positive sign that you're alive? You've got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You don't have the Holy Ghost. The only person to come near that would be Brother Branham. But you have the Holy Ghost, a gift of the Holy Ghost, a modicum. You have just what you need to quicken you, see? Now, the Holy Ghost is a positive token that your lamb died. And you receive the token upon yourself, for his life is in you. That's called the epibaptism, epi upon, and that's in you. Your temples are body. Your bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. See, there is no make-believe. There is no put-on. There is no impersonation. It is there. You know it. The world knows it. The token is there. Sure, you open your mouth and get into any scripture at all. Get into these things. They know that they are not speaking their language. No way. Satan can impersonate everything but handle the word. He cannot handle the word. Now, we saw the word handled by God himself through prophet. That's really the word handling. Now, you check all these other guys how they handle the word. Then they're not a God. Where's the token? No way. Now, you see, this makes this message hated. Makes anybody to do with this word hated. There's no way that you you couldn't be hated. And I do admit that there's a lot of justification as far as we ourselves are personally. Because if none of us got too much in the ball, I would say to really stack up to be the kind of Christian Brother Branham was. And Moses and those great people. Paul. So they could be well justified in nailing us, you know. But not with the word they can. Now, we're not, see, that doesn't depend upon how good you are and how this and how that. That's there. But that's not it. See, it's whether you recognize the message, the hour, the events, right now. That puts you, brother, sister. No matter how good the person was, might have been a Bible student, might have been any kind of church member, might have been a good person, might be denominational head, might be hierarchy of Rome, I don't know who it is, but don't make it anything. See? Now you put all of this stuff together, all of these paragraphs together, and you can see that if one today does not accept the living manifestation of the Spirit who is manifesting the Word, he is not baptized with the Holy Ghost. He doesn't do it. Well, they say, what's that picture? What's that? You know. What about thus saith the Lord? Oh, we've always had that. They got an answer for everything. Sure. You're not going to be convinced. Israel had the same thing. Any Bible student knows that Israel was a type of the church. See, exactly, to the promised land. And that is where she is journeying. And when the evening time came and the journey was on, there was one solemn requirement. No matter how much Jew you had been, how well he kept his crops, how well he taken care of his neighbor, how much he'd done, how good a member he was, how much tithe he paid, all these things were fine. They were okay. He was a good man, recognized amongst the people as a good man. But without the token of the blood, he perished. That's exactly right. Good conscience won't get you there. Doing the best you can won't get you there. This is showdown time, brother, sister. It's changed. You can sneak in as a foolish virgin. Yeah, you have something. Look at it. It was just God had to be just and keep the ends open. But the ends aren't open anymore. You're in a tube. And either you go into the tube or you're destruction. And most of that means lake of fire. Because Brother Branham put Malachi 4 right with the lake of fire. That's pretty tragic, brother, sister. Very tragic. Oh, may God help me, both present and in the tape, to pin that down. No matter. You might have preached the gospel. You might have cast out devils. You might have spoken with tongues. You might have shouted and danced in the Spirit, but without the token. Now, he's not only pleading, he's warning. The token and the word, brother, sister, are one. So what part of the token does anybody have that's real token and disagrees with the word? Isn't there. And yet, that's the criterion. Is that agreement with the word? Because that's where Israel fell out with Jesus. if they said, listen, you just kept your mouth shut, nobody would bother you. And if Brother Branham had gone in his great ministry and let someone like Mr. Baxter and Mr. Lindsay and different ones go around the country doing his preaching and little Lamb going on the platform praying, say, oh, he'd still be the greatest guy living if he were living. But no, he had to open his mouth and spoil the whole thing. He believed in one God. And baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A bride different from the church. Old-fashioned long hair, long skirts, and women acting like women and men like men. Well, he died right there. And they buried him just as deep as they could. And you say, can I do it? Which means, can this happen to me? Could I do such a thing as that? He says, this here. Have all these things and miss it? He said, you could. For Paul said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and give all my goods to feed the poor, and my body be burned to sacrifice, and I have faith to move mountains, and those things are nothing yet. Don't rely upon that. It is the token. No matter how much you have done, how good you are, when the wrath of God flashes, it'll only recognize the token. Now you see right there, Ken, the wrath of God did not flash, and does not flash to this hour. See? He's talking to living people. Not those that have gone on. Talking to these rich before those people say, well, millions are living and never die. It is the token, it is the token that a price has been paid. That's in other words, it's a guarantee, it's a sign. That has been required. And the price that was paid was the life of Jesus Christ, and he gave his life, and his spirit came back upon you as a token that you received. That you're received. That you've received, and now you are received. You yourself. And you see, the very fact you can recognize the presence, the appearing, the hour, this word, correlated, vindicated, shows that you're in the mainstream, in the life stream. Waters to carry over. You're not dancing. You can dance. Sure, go ahead and dance. Do without music. That'll prove something right there. You say, I'll whistle my own tune. I think I should get a scriptural tune if I were you. See, the blood shall be a token unto you. You say, well, I still believe. I'm a believer. That is all right. But if you reject the token, how are you going to be a believer? In other words, if you reject the token, this is here, what are you believing anyway? You're no believer. You're an unbeliever. People think they can believe anything and that constitutes a believer. No, that constitutes believism. That doesn't make you a believer. That's believism. Believing is something different. And this hour is based upon a vindication. Thank God that's tremendous to know that. It speaks against you, see? It speaks against your testimony that you do. Bible student, good person, church member. Whatever you are. Doesn't mean a thing. Yes, sir. Maybe your father's a preacher. Maybe your mother a saint. That's okay. They have to answer for themselves. And as I said, some people try to make God some big old fat doting grandfather. A bunch of grandkids. Like little Ricky's and Elvis. No harm in him. Not God. He has no grandchildren. He's a father. You got to be born again. He's no big, soft, doting God. He's a God of judgment. And he's a judge right here. And I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham categorically made the judge and the king one person. He said, the king is here. He's everything. See, folks, he's everything. The one that's here is everything. Amen. These roles in the drama, the great drama of redemption, and his own particular desires that he's acting out. He's all of it in one. But it folds, it goes out, then enfolds itself and moves and comes back. And he's everything he is. He's never changed. But sometimes he projects more than others. And he's just beginning to move from the priesthood into the judge, into the kingship. See? It's molding together because everything is moving together. I wish people could see that. They wouldn't be so mixed up on Godhead in some of these things. Not that I got the answers, but I think we're getting some answers. We have what the prophet taught. I believe we're believing it and getting somewhere. Now, the Bible says his wrath is fierce. And what did the judge just say to the bride? You're blameless. Don't trample on that and expect the goodness of God. Someday to take you in your sin and take you to heaven. If you had done that, he would have excused all of this here. You'll believe his word or you'll perish. And when you believe his word, the token will be upon you. Death was ready to strike that night at any time. It was a fearful time. All their ceremonies, all their feast days and fast days, God had visited them. God showed his great signs and wonders in the midst of them. But he did more than that, didn't he, in Egypt? He came himself and showed himself just like now. What is that? Now stop a minute. God showed them his grace. Now what's grace? I'm going to tell you what I wrote down here for my definition. Grace is the opportunity to believe and receive or reject an actual time extended that they might be safe from wrath through mercy. That's what it is, an actual time, an actual place. When it's laid out in front of you. Said that, what do you want? Now, you know that's true when you got converted yourself. You came right face to face with God saying, now, which way do you want to go? Now, if you want to come my way, this is it. If you want to go the other way, just count me off. I'm cut off. It's a period of time. Well, you can get mercy or you can get wrath, whichever it is. And in mercy, he is right here now in this period of grace. This is real grace, see? Now, and when you believe his word, the token will come. What word? The manifested word. When you believe Logos. See, I know that's God. How can you go to a meeting with thousands of you there? You can sit there and somebody else say, well, that's not God. And you say, that's got to be God. And yet you both come in. Same old boys. No different. Walking off the street. One fellow says, that's God. Ah, that's what I said. What are you talking about? See? Logos drew one. Nothing the other draw on the other. And then what's going to happen? You recognize? Not just recognize God moving. He's more than that, brother, sister. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody would know that that had to be God under certain circumstances. See? But this is not God under certain circumstances in that manner. This is God, period. In this hour. This is something. What is it? What's going on? But you look back and you know it wasn't going on when you were a kid. It wasn't going on when you were an adult. Look, I was over, what was that, when I saw Brother Branham? 1904, 33 years old. About 33. I think right about there. 1440, yeah. 33 years old. I've seen a lot to do with God. Healings, everything else. Some phenomenal things. When I saw that, that was not God the way I knew God. And yet, it indicated it was the God that I knew, but not that way. See, that's the way it is. That's the way it is with all of us. There's no difference in any of us, see, amongst us. No difference, see. Now, stop. Wait a minute. God had showed them his grace. He gave them an opportunity. They couldn't turn it down. But they did. They said, ah, there's nothing to that. It's nonsense. It's just something up there in the cataracts. An eruption of red mud flew out. That's what they said. That's what they claim. Velikovsky, he can even document according to his own. He's dead now. Worlds in collision. He's quite a man. Was quite a man. He could even tell you from when Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and devour 50. He said that was a meteor. I think he said it was. Flashed down. He had this all figured out, you know. And I think he had it documented to the extent where they could find traces even. I can't remember. Such a long time I read part of the book. I never really read the whole book, just read some of it. Some things are good, some things bore me. If I get too much of one thing, it bores me. Can't get enough of this because I don't know enough about it. See, you have the opportunity, you turned it down. Nothing to that. Nonsense. Eruption of red mud flew up. It made the sea red. Then the hail came. Frogs came. God prepared a place and put his word in the prophet's mouth. When he spoke, it came to pass. And they saw it. They couldn't deny it. See, they had to face it. God makes them face it. He always makes us face things. What Moses called for, that is what God got from God, because he only spoke the word of God. Moses called for what God wanted Moses to call for. That's why he got it. See? I'll make you a God, he said. Moses was a God to them. They knew no difference. So he said, you'll be a God, Aaron be your prophet. See, you'll be like a God. For I'll take you, your voice, I'll create with you, I'll speak, and people can't deny it, because right there, it is what you say will happen. Okay, let's I put a little note here on Colossians 1. Now we're going to close right away because our time's gone anyway. Now, 14 verse in Colossians 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him are all things created that are in heaven and are on earth. This one it is, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities, powers, or things were created for all things created by him and all things for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things do consist. All right? You notice in there, this one here that is the great creator is here now using a man's voice. Just like back there, no difference. Jehovah is the same. You're not dealing with a Jehovah and a Jehovah and a Jehovah. You're dealing with Jehovah. Yesterday, today, forever. Not a Jehovah yesterday. and another one today, and another tomorrow. We don't have three of them. We got one of them. And the one that took upon a human body in order to redeem is now here without the human body to redeem us to a human body the way he is committed to do it according to his word. And people don't want to be committed to God's word. That's the trouble. See, that's why Brother Branham was so against theology. These trained men with great wisdom, Brother Keene was just mentioning a certain man that he's in touch with. And he's very erudite. And he likes Brother Branham's sermons, except he can't stand his language. And he thinks, well, how can this be God? So Gene said, well, he said that he took a Kentucky hillbilly because of the he's bypassing all these wise men to show it's not by wisdom. Brother Branham's own words were this, is why he was a Kentucky hillbilly, because God has revealed it to the babes. That's what he's done it for. That's God's way of doing it. Didn't take some university professor, some seminarian. Who needs him? All you need is a man who can get out of the way, who's got two ears, a couple of eyes, and a mouth, and lungs that'll breathe. God will make up very well with it. And bypass your intelligence any day, and bypass your ignorance if you got that, and just use his plain good old wisdom and say what he wants and get it done. But that's just too little. That's too simple for man. See, they're trying to make, everybody's trying to make God complicated. I'm afraid that God is very uncomplicated. If we only knew it. If we only knew it. We just complicate him by our own folly. All right? He said, I'll take your voice. I'll create with you. I'll speak. People can't deny it because right there it is. What you say will happen. Oh, my. I'll show you those things in Egypt sought. They sought. Just at the evening time, he showed them his goodness. Magicians tried to do the same thing, the impersonators. You always find them. The Janus and Jambers, they stood there. When it came to the real thing, they didn't have it. That's right. They followed along a little while. After a while, their folly was made manifest. Your anointed ones, brother, sister, never could take the word. And they never could get the word either. You know how we know? They weren't vindicated to it. They weren't cut to it. See, to be in bride, to be in Christ, you've got to be cut from a special material in a special way to fit in a special pattern. And when you realize that this prophet at the end time, where Christ was the cornerstone, he had a Paul down there. When he's the capstone, we're talking of spirit now, he has another prophet. So if you have an Alpha and Omega, you've got a Paul and a William Branham. Now on top of that, you've got thrown in the ministry of a Moses, because Moses led them out in Exodus. So when you begin to see the tremendous, not implication, although that's true, and ramifications, but the tremendous, how am I going to say here? The tremendous thing that's manifested and brought in our hour, the great majesty of God, how he used his spirit on these various occasions, like in Paul and Moses, at this end, and Jesus, that great spirit that was here doing the work. Now, how great is this man in our hour who literally combines all those in one? Because you see, it's all in there. So that's pretty fantastic. It is. Then look at if you're going to measure this hour, which we are doing now by literal history, profane and sacred, then this has to be the end hour, and destruction has got to come. There's no way. But before that's redemption. So it's wind-up time. Let's rise at this time. Sunday morning, 10:30. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we approach your throne at the end of this little time of getting together, Father. We pray, O God, that the things have been said that are right. We haven't said anything wrong, Lord. Any way, shape, and form, we're doing our best, Father, with what the prophet said, and doing our best to listen to you, and our hearts line up, O God, with your voice somehow, to know just what to tell the people so we can all see together very, very clearly exactly what has gone on, what is going on, and what is yet to go on, and how that this is running its course, and its course is a glorious course where the prophet said, oh yes, Wesley's faded, Pentecost fade, but this doesn't fade, because this glory never fades. It's the glory that excelleth. And Father, we know that there was a ministry with it. We've already had the ministry. And now, Father, it's just a matter of moving on to greater depths of grace. Father, purge our hearts tonight, Lord. Help us, as the prophet said, to put everything away, O God, no matter what it is, under every consideration, until we just count all things but lost to gain that excellence, the knowledge of our blessed God who stands amongst us. And like Paul said, that we may know him in the power of his resurrection. We already do in a way that the other ages have not known. We believe that, Lord. But, O God, help us to be in that position now, as the prophet said, to so live, ought to so live us to meet our loved ones in the resurrection. Lord, let us be in that area now. And this time on, Father God, to put away everything, Lord. Circumcised 100% to the word of Almighty God. Lord, we're talking a lot down here, and we have our boast in thee, Lord. Oh God, may you one day boast in us. May it be that we are that people who learn to get out of the way and let Christ shine forth in his glory. Bless every family represented. Everyone, Lord, little sickness here, little sickness there, Lord. We just pray you'll heal it. Father, help those who have this distress or that distress, this need, that need, O God. We know that we're needy people, and yet this is rich, wicked Laodicea. But Lord God in heaven, no matter how many ways our needs are met, and they're met so many, many ways, Lord, there's only one person to meet that great need of the hour, the great token you yourself can give us of yourself, a token, Lord, sealed in to be out of here. So, Father, we just commend ourselves to your love and mercy and grace. We cannot thank thee or praise enough. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Just take the name of Jesus.